Some say we have shepherds in the church today who are really wolves. Is that possible?
So I would just say, don't worry about the date. He's made us a promise. And the promise is he's coming for us. He's prepared a place for us. Be about your Father's business.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with Pastor Mark Henry, discussing several contemporary and church-related issues. We have an epidemic of despair in the Western world today and in the church. What is the root cause of this, and how did it happen in the last 80 years? Every listener is a victim of this today. We'll try to make sense of it this hour.
God's pro-Israel. Every nation that goes against Israel, all in biblical history, it's only for a period of time. Just think about Egypt. They didn't recover. They never became the great Egypt that they were in the past. Why? Because of their anti-Israel. And so America, when you do those four things, just know there is no recovery. So fellow Americans, I would just say you need to repent. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm just going to tell you there's consequences to this. As a Christian, I'm just warning you. So why do I want biblical morality? Because I really want you to be blessed. I want America to be blessed. But listen, if we're going to resist God, if we're going to push back against God, if we're going to insult the servants of God like Pastor Tom, I've just got news for you. The only thing that's going to come ultimately is God's judgment against the United States. And when that happens, we're just going to say, ultimately, I'm going to say, told you so. You need to become a citizen of heaven, because America, as much as we've been blessed here, is only for a season. There is a tribulation coming. There is a global governance coming. It's called the tribulation, and Jesus is going to interrupt that, and he's going to take over. And so we're looking forward to Jesus' coming.
Well, glad you can join me for today's programming. That's the voice of my in-studio guest. We'll get to him in just a moment. The first part of today's programming, well, it's just a little different than some of the topics we've covered recently. And I think we would all agree that there is a crisis in our homes and churches and really every facet of life. And the reasons for this are often spiritual, and God surely has the answers to all of these issues. Now, we have been carrying the book written by Pastor Mark Henry. It's titled The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. And by the way, gals, please listen up. Don't tune out, because this applies to you as well. We're going to hit on topics that hit every believer. So Mark wrote the book for his daughter, just to assure you that this is not just a book for men, though it's titled The Man Code. The issues talked about in the book and in our discussion apply to all of you today, I believe. So do the church issues that we're going to morph into here in just a little bit as well, because the church, as you know, if you listen to this program, we talk about it all the time, going through some issues and trials and testings, and some of you get frustrated, and we'll talk about that. We have a crisis, and that's actually a big chapter that I have in front of me, and I just want to read a paragraph. He says, the popular media portrays men as angry goofballs. Sitcoms, TV commercials, and even comic books depict men as weak, bumbling, unreliable, greedy, irate, selfish, dangerous, unfit for authority, and or stupid. He writes, some show men as cute and their ineptitude easily tolerated, but in general, they show masculinity as toxic and even deadly. And then he says, belittling men is popular, modern, and trendy. Tell a joke about men's incompetence or laziness, and you're sure to get a laugh. Tell a similar joke about women, and society will label you politically incorrect and maybe even a hater. Gender studies at most major universities are more about male bashing than about the objective study of this complex and important feature of human life. They teach students to see men and boys as entitled and oppressive, but in fact, they are in crisis. So Mark Henry, welcome back to the studio.
Jan, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Men are in crisis, really.
Men are in crisis. Families are in crisis. The nation's in crisis. Church is in crisis. Why? Because we need godly men. God has a certain design. He's created men to fulfill. And when we remove them from that role, we all suffer.
Let me just say up front that Pastor Mark Henry is lead pastor at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis. By the way, it is evangelical free, and he also is the co-host for our bi-monthly Understanding the Times activities, which we just are off of one, Mark. back on June 9th. I'm going to play a clip in just a minute about that. We actually had over 33 nations watching that particular night. A couple hundred thousand viewers, and so fascinating to use the beast system technology to get the gospel out.
We don't want to just occupy during these days. Yeah. We want to assault the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name, and that's a joy to be able to do that with you, Jan.
We have a DVD of that event. Mark Hitchcock, Jeff Kinley, Pastor Henry, and yours truly will say more about that when I play a clip from it. You say in this book, The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know is a personal journey. Explain what you mean.
My dad committed suicide when I was 5 years old, so that's the ultimate form of abandonment. My mom's 23 years old, three little kids. So I saw lots of brokenness in my life growing up, stepdads and so forth. And by the time I heard the gospel, I was so thankful for Jesus. I'm reading through the Bible, and my question is, what kind of person do I want to marry? The Bible says an excellent wife who can find her worth is far above jewels. And then I discovered in the book of Psalms, it says excellent men are rare. As I just started reading through the Bible, I realized that as I looked around in my world, excellent men are rare. So I just started reading the Bible like, Lord, you got to give me the principles to live by. I started putting this together, and then our children came along, and then my daughter, she's starting to get about 8 years old, Jan, and I'm like, she's got to make a really good choice. She gets one shot at this as a pastor at that point of already 10 years. I had seen the brokenness in homes, and so we would go out and have breakfast, and we started jotting these down, and that's really the formation of the book for my daughter.
And you're going to list 12 essentials every man needs to know. I'm going to refer to that in just a moment. But you say the book is transformational and transferable. Why don't you explain that?
The man code, in order to be transformational, has got to be biblical, right? There's lots of rhetoric. The Bible calls it worldly and empty chatter in the world. And that's what you find so often when you go and talking with people and studying different things about the family or men and women or the church. There's just a lot of chatter. And we've got to get back to the Bible. That's where transformation comes. It's radical transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a second element we want, and this was my conviction, is I needed to be able to pass this to my daughter. I needed to be able to pass this to my son. This has to be transferable. So I noticed with my son, specifically in my daughter, as I was doing devotions with them, people learn different. And one of the key things you find about men is they respond really well if the code is lined out, really systematic. Children do. When you got clouded understandings in your home and children don't know what to expect, you're going to have more chaos. And so we started putting these into a format known as the Man Code, 12 Things Every Man Needs to Know.
You can find it in my online bookstore, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can get on our newsletter lists or give my office a call. And you say, boys are in trouble. And you quote an authority who states that prisons are basically centers for dad-deprived boys. You say in California since 1980, they've built 18 new prisons. There are 700% increase in prison population since 1972, mostly a dad-deprived boy population. Again, then you cite the growing number of school shootings, almost one a week since Sandy Hook 2012. And it's my opinion, Mark, that in part this falls under some of this last day's perilous times, but some blame mental health. Quite frankly, many blame guns. Guns require people, but guns are often attacked as the source of all our trouble. But something has changed for boys. I think that's what you're saying here.
Absolutely. The Bible says really plain that in the last days, there's going to be this generation without natural affection. And you and I were recently talking about that, and I was so stirred. I started refreshing my mind on these different passages in Romans chapter 1 and 1 Timothy, where it describes there this lack of natural affection. And that's what these young boys are facing. 41% of children born in America are born without a dad in the home. At least that's the last number I saw. And this lawlessness that we're seeing, this brokenness that we're seeing is being compounded because they don't have these fathers that they need.
Another thing you bring out here, and then I do want to play a clip, but this is so important. You state that men, they talk to their fathers. This is staggering. An average of 30 minutes a week. So what is going on here? Is this too much electronics? Help me understand this.
So the breakdown is several fold, but you think about it. In times past, you look back in biblical history, you had men who were working in the home. Their sons, as they're growing up, are working alongside dad. Now, men communicate different than women. Men communicate shoulder to shoulder. In other words, they work on a task. They're fishing. I call it workbench training. So we're working on the workbench. We're building something. and you're investing in your son. You're teaching him about right and wrong. You're teaching him about ethics. You're teaching him how you do business. When you remove children and put them in schools, dad in some other office, there's this natural breakdown that happens. Then you add technology. And then you add this generational influence of saying, your parents don't know anything because they don't know this technology as well as you do. They're just not cool as you are. It's just this ongoing breakdown. But then that also affects all of the ladies, affects their daughters and affects their wives.
Right.
It affects everybody.
And you say men and boys are dying younger due to hopelessness and despair. Actual suicide rates are just staggering now. More young men take their lives than young women. So again, something's gone terribly haywire. Obviously, they need some male role models.
We need to go back to what the Bible says about natural affection. God made them male and female.
Sure.
And he created the family, and there's a certain order, and the world's attacking that right now. Boy meets girl, fall in love, get married, have children. Mom and dad raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, teaching them right and wrong, giving them a biblical worldview. It's absolutely necessary across the board.
I'm going to play a quick clip here, and it happens to go back to June 9th and our activity at Revive Church. And folks, this is where we have our every other month Understanding the Times events. It's a mini conference. We bring in guest speakers. Back on June 9th, we had Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Jeff Kinley, Pastor Mark Henry, and myself, and we had an evening trying to better understand this great reset put on by the World Economic Forum. And I played a clip that night, and I'm going to play 3 minutes of that clip right now. And it happens to be Pastor Jack Hibbs with Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk made a statement in this clip, Mark, that just leaped out at me that particular night. And I think it did for a lot of people. Let's play that and come back and talk about it.
If you've been watching Jan, you know about the 8 predictions for your world in 2030. And the first one there has been mentioned several times, that you're going to own nothing and be happy about it. I always laugh at that one, because if you own nothing, that means somebody else owns everything, right? And you're just a renter. But that second one should be alarming. The U.S. will no longer be a world-leading superpower. But I want you to notice the last one. It says Western values will be tested to the breaking point. Watch this.
Western values is why we are able to have the technological advancements, the medical advancements, the communication advancements that we enjoy. But more than anything else, Western values, this right here, what they say, this is code. Western values, no. They're really saying biblical values.
That's
you understand
exactly
that,
it.
Okay? Because they know that if they put biblical values on the website, boom, okay, then everyone will be talking about it.
That's
but
right.
Western values, like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, that sounds like something in a college course. What they're trying to say is they're going to try to break by 2030 biblical values.
Yep.
So more specifically, they want to break every single one of the Ten Commandments. Every single one. Okay, let's play that out. Like, Charlie, you know, you might be exaggerating. What did you open this with? The smash and grab? Thou shalt not steal.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not covet. Oh, well, that's pretty easy.
That's right.
How about this? Is there not a concerted effort to try to break the bond between parents and children right now? Of course.
On steroids.
You cannot have a great reset if parents have strong bonds with their children. That is the only commandment that comes with a promise and involves your nation. It's the only commandment, because it says, honor your mother and father so you might live long in the land of which you are in.
So is Western values a code word for biblical morality, the morality that we find in the person of a righteous creator?
We think about how few nations in the world today have freedom. Christians in 167 nations of the world are being actively persecuted. America really has been a beacon of light, but we're gradually committing suicide, is basically what's happening. We're crumbling from within. That's because we have jettisoned these Judeo-Christian values upon which our country was founded, the men who founded our country. And so what happens is, just like Romans says, we begin by rejecting God as creator. It's not just the kicking God out of the schools. That was just a symptom of what was really going on. We just don't want God a part of our life at all. We get him out of government, get him out of schools. We take him out of the marketplace. And eventually we want to take him out of social media. And so that's why this whole cancel culture is so huge right now. So when you excise God from the picture, what are you left with? You're left with mankind. What does mankind do? Romans 1 says he has to speculate about what reality really is. So when you take those Judeo-Christians out, that's the foundation of a country. and it begins to crumble once you take that foundation out. So that's where we find ourselves right now. And really, the only thing holding up the country right now are the believers.
Yes.
And those who stand for those type of values, who may not be believers, but they still stand for those Judeo-Christian values. And once we're gone, my friends, the whole house is coming down.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Pastor Mark Henry. Pastor Mark, two things jumped out at me here. Jeff Kinley's last comment there that once the church is gone, the whole house is coming down, was his last statement. But then going back to Charlie Kirk, which is why I played this, he made the statement that you obviously heard. We talked about it that night back on June 9th. The effort to break the bond between parents and children has never been greater, and that has to happen in order for this great reset and global government to take over. Everything's got to be destroyed, which they're in the process of doing.
Absolutely, Jan. If you think about the first statement that you made there, you think about the Christians being removed. And we've often talked about the restrainer in 2 Thessalonians being the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is working in you,
right,
through us with these Western values, i.e. the Ten Commandments, biblical morality, and it's restraining evil. But it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that the world tries to get rid of that. It tries to restrain righteousness. They can't stand it. So when you take out the Holy Spirit, you take out the church and the rapture, it is a house of cards. They are going to fall down.
Right.
But the second thing that you pointed out there, and rightly so, is the breaking of this bond, this natural affection between moms and dads and their daughters and their sons. And this goes right back to Marxism. You and I have often talked about this, that Marxism has a oppressor and it has the oppressee. And so it applies it to everything. It applies it in economics, and we're seeing this in the whole woke movement right now. We see it in race. We see it in the family. And back in the 60s, men are evil. They're oppressing women. Therefore, we've got to raise women. Now, obviously, there's evil men, but there's also evil women. And they're both made in the image of God. They are created by God to work together. They're not in opposition to each other. So it created tension in the home there. And now the emphasis is parents are oppressor of children. So let's destroy the family. Let's move the kids out. Let's make them wards of the state rather than wards of their parents.
Our discussion centers around Pastor Mark Henry's newest book, The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. You can find it in my online store. You can give my office a call. I've read 80% of it, Mark. I got a couple of chapters left. It's excellent. And I want to read another paragraph here from the book. And you say this: today, the whole world stands in desperate need of men who do more than take care of themselves. We need men who not only fulfill their duties to others, but go beyond mere duty. We need men like Boaz. America and the world are starving for men who will see a need, stand up, and assume responsibility. We need men who see their obligations as a starting point, not a finish line. Real men assume responsibility. Are you, as a pastor, seeing a diminishing of this in the church?
We're seeing it everywhere in culture. Men have been told, we don't want you speaking into our world. Men, we don't want you speaking into schools. We don't want you speaking into education. Men, we don't want you speaking in. It's everywhere, Jan. And the reality is, God expects men not only to function at the normal sense of caring for themselves, but when they see a need, to rise to the occasion, to be a man of God. These are the virtues that we've seen in the past. You think about just recently, June 6, 1944, these men rose to the occasion.
Exactly. The same thought I have. What happened?
Yeah.
In 80 years.
There was a biblical worldview that real men assume not only responsibility for themselves, but they assume responsibility for those that are around them. That's exactly what Boaz does in that story. You've got these two ladies. You got mom, Naomi. She's a widow and she's in desperate need. And she's got this daughter-in-law who's a foreigner and she's taking care of her. And Boaz sees the situation. His requirement was by God, according to the book of Leviticus, was to allow them to glean in his fields. Most people didn't even allow that, but he was a righteous man, so he allowed that. But then in seeing their need, he rose to the occasion and cared for them beyond that capacity. Real men assume responsibility for themselves and others meeting real needs.
Okay, I have that in my notes. Real men assume responsibility. And again, I'm picturing all these World War II films that I've seen, and they're running on Omaha Beach, and they're willing to give their lives for their country some 80 years ago and marched off to war. It's changed so dramatically.
We've raised a generation today. It's don't assume responsibility for yourself. Don't pay your own bills. Live at your mother's house. Live on the couch. Don't get a job. This is the generation we've raised. That generation was raised with the idea that real men are courageous. Real men assume responsibility. And when there's a crisis, they protect others. You have to lay down your life, maybe, to assume some of this responsibility. That's what those men did.
That's what they did.
Those kind of men are the ones that raised me. My dad died when I was 5. It was men who landed at Omaha Beach, Iwo Jima, Saipan, Guadalcanal. These were the guys that raised me. I'm telling you, they were a different breed.
You're also addressing women in this book, and I wanted to bring that out quickly, just so some listeners don't think this doesn't apply to me. It does. And I'm reading just one paragraph. You say this: if you're a single woman reading this, don't marry a passive man. God made men to be protectors because we live in evil days. It's not an insult to be protected. God protects us every day. He appointed government to protect nations from evil. He created men to protect families from evil. Real men are a part of God's plan for your protection. And I really like that. And by the way, that's government's number one job, is to protect us. But set government aside, we're talking about men here. And I, as a woman, want to be protected by guys like you.
Amen. And that's exactly right. That's our role. Mm-hmm. And so that oikos, which is a Greek word for mm-hmm. household, the household that God gives us, those who are in our sphere of influence, I need to be watching out for them. I need to be protecting them, whether it's my wife or my daughter, my sons, my grandsons. And Jan, you and I have been together a lot. You know I'm looking out for you wherever mm-hmm. we're at all of the time. Why? Because that's what real men do. Mm-hmm. Real men protect others.
You've got 12 points here. And again, I have Pastor Mark Henry in studio with me. You've heard him on this program numerous times. He's pastor of a sizable church here in Northwest Suburb, Minneapolis. And the Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. Time doesn't allow us to go through the 12 Essentials, but let me reference some. Anyway, a real man pursues biblical success, possesses focused ambition, assumes responsibility, exhibits godly character, demonstrates consideration, protects others, works with diligence, respects authority, honors his wife, trains his children, does not abandon his family, and loves the gospel and the church. And I want to dwell on that last one in a little bit here. So those are the 12 essentials every man needs to know. You could probably come up with 112, but why these 12?
When my daughter and I started gathering every Saturday, we would go get a cinnamon roll. We'd sit at this restaurant and we would talk about her future husband, and we would be praying for her future husband. You got to remember, Proverbs 31 was not written to women. Proverbs 31 is often used by women, mm-hmm. but it was actually written for a son. And so I realized that just as that mom gave that son instruction in Proverbs 31, I needed to give instruction to my daughter. This is the kind of man to look for. We had 25 originally, Jan.
Okay.
We boiled them down to these 12. Mm-hmm. And what I always tell people, if you get these 12 right, you put these 12 in place, I promise you, you're going to be a really fit follower of Jesus. This is going to be the husband you want to marry. This is the boyfriend you want to have. This is the son you want to raise. If you're married, this is the husband you want to help become a great man of God. This is what a great man of God looks like.
You've got a chapter in here, Reflections for Singles. Tell me about that. I haven't gotten that far yet, so explain this to me.
That chapter specifically is on the subject of training our children and realizing that not all of us have children at this moment. And so if you're single and you don't have any children, you need to be preparing. I was 14 years old. I remember the first time I read through Proverbs, and I started noticing these parenting passages. I started putting them in order, Jan, so that way, someday when I got married, I would know what to do. But there's not only physical children, there's also spiritual children. Mm. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, both of those passages, Paul references Timothy as his spiritual son. And all of us as followers of Jesus, as we share the gospel, we have spiritual offspring. So I give instruction there. So think about our own physical children. Think about the children, the nephews, the nieces that we have around us and training them. Think about the kids in our own church. Think about the spiritual children that we have. It reaches far beyond just the biological children.
And that's important that you explain that in this book. Again, the title is The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. So what I want to do, Mark, for a few minutes anyway, I want to transition and I want to talk about issues as it concerns the church. And I actually did last weekend, and I had an outstanding guest with me. It happened to be David Fiorazzo. He's not a pastor, and you are, and I want to pastor's perspective on some of the things we talked about last week. I want to spend just an extra few minutes on it in part two of my programming. And I want to ask you about, first of all, this new Barna survey that's just come out, and it reveals that 37% of pastors have a biblical worldview. That means two-thirds of pastors do not have a biblical worldview, which is simply shocking. And I want to pick your brain a little bit about that, because how on earth did that happen? Do we go back to our seminaries, or is this a parenting thing again? So I want to get into that when we come back. Then you sent me an article. Here's the title of this. We're going to talk about it, folks. The title of this article, and I've read it, and it's just shocking. It says, "I am a Christian pastor. Evangelicals have to be defeated in 2022. And the passion in this article, and its anger, and it's against us, is simply stunning. The left-right paradigm, it's not just in politics, it's in the pulpit as well. So we're going to talk about that when I get back, as well as a number of other things. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute or two.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. Revelation was written because God wants us to know what the future holds. For Christians, the prophetic truths within provide wisdom, reassurance, and hope that God will indeed make all things new. That is why we are carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, Revealing Revelation, How God's Plans for the Future Can Change Your Life Now. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, or call our office, Central Time, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We charge no shipping in the U.S. and Canada. There is an accompanying workbook that is optional, suitable for individual or group study. God wants us to understand the past, present, and future as we await His return.
But false prophets also arose among the people of Israel, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. It's not surprising that we have these wolf pastors propagating lies and attacks against the gospel. They are ministers of Satan, not ministers of Christ.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org, then to complete archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on Light Source, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Pastor Mark Henry to wrap up today's programming.
Well, there are a lot of reasons that men are falling behind in this country, but a look at the numbers reveals one statistic that tracks the decline of American men almost precisely over time: the disappearance of fathers from the home. Between 1960 and 2016, the proportion of kids living with both parents decreased by almost 20%. The percentage of children living with only their mothers nearly tripled. In demographic terms, this is stunning. Changes to family structure this abrupt and profound typically are only seen in wartime. And yet, if anything, those numbers understate the reality of fatherlessness in America. In the high-income neighborhoods where journalists and policymakers tend to live, not a lot has changed. Most kids there still grow up with their fathers and mothers. But in the rest of the country, intact families are disappearing. According to a 2014 study by researchers at Johns Hopkins University, among younger parents without college degrees, 74% of mothers had at least one child outside of marriage. Out-of-wedlock births are now the rule across the country, not the exception. Increasingly, having a father at home is a sign of affluence. but is also a cause of affluence, especially for boys. Boys who grow up with a father at home earn much more as adults. Boys who grow up alone with their mothers tend to earn less. They also have more disciplinary problems in school. They read less and less well. They're less likely to graduate from high school or go to college. They're more likely to be unemployed and to live in poverty. They get married less often, and when they do, they divorce more. They're more likely to be obese and have asthma. They are far more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs, exhibit antisocial behavior, and commit acts of violence. As adults, they're twice as likely to go to prison. Now, these numbers aren't the result of one study, but of numerous large studies done over generations. The results hold true across geography and ethnic groups. White and black, urban and rural, they're always true. Boys raised without their fathers are at terrible risk. There is not much serious academic debate about that, if any. The nationwide breakup of families is a disaster, and not just a moral disaster, but a practical one. It may be the largest public health crisis that we face.
Welcome back. That was the voice of Tucker Carlson. He is complimenting some of the discussion I've had this hour with Pastor Mark Henry from Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis. Pastor Mark, your services are 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11 a.m., correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have an outstanding traditional service at 9 a.m. and two contemporary services, correct?
That's right.
I love your 9 a.m. It's just totally awesome. That was Tucker Carlson complimenting, I think. Did you want to comment on what he said?
The importance of the man code is seen right in what he said, not only for the young men, but also think about the young ladies he mentioned. 71% of those ladies having a child out of wedlock. Real men treat women different than the world. And that's why this book is important for ladies, because who you date determines a lot of the trajectory of what's going to happen in your life. And that's the reason we find ladies buying this for their daughters, dads buying this book for their daughters. In fact, I just had a dad who was going through this book with his 12-year-old daughter because he's anticipating her dating boys in the near future. And he's like, she's got to know these things, Mark. It's really important.
Again, the book is in my store, The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. Or you can give my office a call. I think it's on Amazon as well, is it not, Mark?
The book's on, of course, at Olive Tree Views in the bookstore. It's at Amazon, and we've got also the ebook there. And the audiobook is at Barnes & Noble at this point and coming out in other sources as
okay,
well.
Okay, great. I think we've just had our fifth Understanding the Times conference at Revived Church. It's an evangelical free church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, which is off of that June 9th. And I just want to give a heads up for the next one, which will be Thursday night, August the 4th, and Michelle Bachman will be with us that evening. You hear her on this radio program probably more than anybody else. She and I have been dear friends for many years. We'll talk about some cutting-edge issues Thursday night, August the 4th, Revived Church, and that's 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis, 7 to 9 p.m. approximately, no cost, first come, first serve. The really cool thing is we do live stream it to the whole world. You can watch all of these at markhenryministries.com, and then we archive them. We've got all the presentations at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and go to video. They're archived at markhenryministries.com, and you can get a DVD. So just check my bookstore or give my office a call for DVDs of the past events we've had.
Jan, I would encourage people to have a streaming party at their house. Use your house as a station of light in your community. Invite people over, have dinner, have popcorn, have a streaming party that night. We have an app at Mark Henry Ministries, and use that app. You can use your Apple TV, Roku. Just know that that's available.
I kind of wanted to transition a little bit. I'm so troubled by this survey that almost two-thirds of pastors don't have a biblical worldview. Mark, how is this even possible?
It's a breakdown of several things that are happening. Number one, seminaries are not teaching the counsel of Scripture anymore. We've turned from teaching the Bible. That's what seminaries were originally intended to do, so that young men would be coming in who are believers in Jesus. They'd be saturated with the Bible. They would have systematic theology. But as is often the case, it's a second law of thermodynamics in a spiritual sense, where they run to randomness and chaos, and they drift from the Bible. In fact, everywhere you look in the Bible, there's this constant warning. Don't drift away. Seminaries do it. Churches do it. Individuals do it. That's how we get here.
Same study found that only 12% of children and youth pastors have a biblical worldview. And Barna goes on to say, quote, A person's worldview primarily develops before the age of 13, then goes through a period of refinement during their teens and 20s. Therefore, from a worldview development perspective, a church's most important ministers are children's pastors and youth pastors, and here only 12% of them have a biblical worldview.
Jan, that's staggering. I mean, think about that. Your worldview starts from 0 to 13.
Yes.
That means mom and dad have to be involved. Mom and dad have to know what a worldview is. That means they got to talk about a creator. They got to talk about morality and how morality is rooted in God. They have to take their children to a church that has a biblical worldview. Okay. They can't cop out and say, you know, my kids don't want to go to church. Moms and dads, rise to the occasion. Lead your family. But you got to take them to a great church. And that's hard work. I'm just telling you, as a pastor, it's hard to find a good youth pastor when only 12% of all the youth pastors in America have a biblical worldview. This matters.
See, Mark, this is why I am bombarded, and you may be too, on a daily level. And folks, I wish I could help you, but it's really difficult because we can't visit hundreds of thousands of churches across the country to tell you, here's a good one you can go to. We just don't know. But I'm blitzed with appeals. Can you help me find a church? So I want to spend a moment doing exactly that, having you give some tips on what folks should be looking for. But here's the thing that I'm perceiving, and I want to play a clip that backs this up. And that is that the next frontier, and it may be the current frontier, you would know better than I. Let's say hurdle in the church. It's going to be dealing with the gay agenda. Everything now is about the rainbow, and every other church you drive by has a rainbow flag outside because they want to affirm the homosexual. You and I come from a perspective where we hate the sin, we try to love the sinner. But here I'm playing a clip of three pastors, and I think they're all fairly well known, Brian McLaren, Greg Boyd, and Brian Zahn, and they are giving an apology to the gay community. They're apologizing for people like you and me.
My name is Brian McLaren. I'm a former pastor. I'm an activist, a blogger, an author.
My name is Greg Boyd. I'm a teaching pastor at Woodland Hills Church in Maplewood, Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Brian Zond, pastor of Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri.
I'm also an outspoken ally for LGBTQ people.
I'm a straight Christian, and on behalf of the Straight Christian Church, I want to ask forgiveness from the GLBTQ community.
And I want to apologize to the gay community for the treatment that you often receive at the hands of people who profess to be followers of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Bruxy, and I want to apologize to members of the LGBTQ community.
Throughout history, and yet to this day, straight Christians have judged you, we've excluded you, we've persecuted you, we've scapegoated you, all because you're different from us.
The worst way, the most demonic way that we achieve unity is we pool together our own anxiety and fear and rage and project it upon some nefarious them. It's called scapegoating, and it is demonic. And too often it has been gay people that have received that kind of hatred.
The queer community has, over the years, been so horribly stereotyped by conservative Christians.
The Christian church has been, until very recently, a universally hostile environment for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer people.
Even to this day, a lot of straight Christians put the blame for social problems on the GLBTQ community.
The reasons for this are complicated and sad, but it involves with the same kind of misuse and misinterpretation and misapplication of the Bible that led to the discrimination against women, led to anti-Semitism, but it expressed itself for all of history up until now in homophobia.
Mark Henry, two of these gentlemen are considered evangelical leaders. Give me your thoughts as you hear what they're sharing.
I'm going to give you a thought, Jan, but it comes right from Scripture.
Yeah, good.
Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." That's right from the text, Jan. Let me say it one more time. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for sins for folks that have committed one of these 10 sins listed or more of them. I haven't committed all of them. I've committed some of them. Every listener here has committed some of them. It goes on in verse 11. For such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. The good news is we don't need to be deceived by gentlemen apologizing. These are sins. These will always be sins. Jesus died on the cross to pay for these sins. The Bible's not going to be changed by our culture, by our world. These men are going to give an account for trying to adjust what biblical morality is.
Would I be right that this is the current controversy in the church?
It's really not the controversy in the church. It is the argument of the world, the deterioration of godly virtues. Of course, they're going to say these are Western values. These really aren't biblical values. No, that is not true. These are biblical values. Let's circle back to that whole subject of worldview. A worldview is, number one, how did you get here? Did you evolve or is there a God? Number two, what is the premise of morality? Is it rooted in individuals or is there a holy God that's created everything? So where do you find morality? Is there a purpose to your life? If you believe evolution, there is no purpose. You're here by chance. But if you believe there's a God in heaven and he personally created you, there is purpose. I'm here to glorify God. And then lastly is destiny. There's a God to whom I'm accountable. We are all accountable, and Jesus died so that we might have everlasting life.
As somebody said, have our spiritual shepherds become wolves? I heard the voice of several wolves in that little soundbite I just played. And therefore, what I'm asking of you is, and again, clarify what I said moments ago, the most frequent email, letter, encounter I have with people face-to-face is, where can I find a solid church, a solid pastor? They're hearing pastors that are tickling the ears. They're hearing the doctrines of demons. Frankly, I think we just heard the doctrines of demons moments ago.
Absolutely.
Some are hearing replacement theology, that the church is the new Israel. Some churches are preaching a solid gospel, but if somebody asks, could you cover abortion? Could you cover Bible prophecy? Some of these cutting-edge issues, absolutely no, the answer is. It's a solid gospel being presented, but some of the issues that really matter today, they won't go there. It's controversial. They don't want to offend. My question to you is, how can the listeners discern the character, the theology, and even the worldview before they invest time in a church?
There's 7 tests given to us in the New Testament. I do have them on our webpage, markhenryministries.com. Okay. First is a theology test. You can go to a church's webpage usually and you find their doctrinal statement. And the Bible talks about this. It says there, don't believe every spirit of man, but test the spirits to see if they're from God. And the first test is the incarnation. Is Jesus really God and does he become flesh? The Gnostics in the first century said no. And so the Holy Spirit recorded that. Test everything. So you look at the doctrinal statement, first of all. What does that look like? But that's not the whole story. You also need to go to the church and you have a gospel test. And you got to do this in person. And the gospel test is found in Galatians chapter 1. If anyone comes to you preaching to you a different gospel, salvation in someone other than Jesus. And they'll may be passive in how they do that, but you got to listen carefully. Do they talk about Jesus' death on the cross? Death for sin. He died for sin. And he rose again the third day. That's how we know he's the Son of God. And salvation is by faith alone in him. Thirdly, you want to look at the fruit test. And again, this takes time. Is there spiritual fruit? Jesus talked about how there's only 2 kingdoms and a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So you got to look around. What's the fruit coming out of the spiritual leader's life? You can only do that in person. Fourth test is the wisdom test. It's found in James chapter 3. And again, because there's only 2 kingdoms, there's the wisdom from above and the wisdom that is earthly, natural, and demonic. The wisdom from below is filled with jealousy and selfish ambition and all sorts of disorder and evil things. But verse 17 in that chapter says the wisdom from above is first pure. What's that talking about? Moral purity, ethics. Goes on and says peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits. Test number 5 is the Bible test. What is the source of their authority? When they're speaking, several years ago, one of my family members took me to a church and they preached, I'm not joking, Jan, out of a children's book up front. Boy, was it funny. Boy, was it engaging. But it wasn't biblical. Mm-hmm. So what is the source of the scriptures? 2 Timothy chapter 4 says preachers are supposed to preach the word in season, out of season. Do they open that book? Are they reading to you? Are they extracting from that book the key information? Number 6 is a personality test. And you can only do this in person. Right. Who is the hero of all of their stories? 2 Corinthians 4:5 says this, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as his bondservants for Jesus' sake. Number 7 is simply the Gnostic test. And I call this the neo-Gnostic test. In other words, them presenting special information. I recently just had a gentleman come up and said, Mark, I've got special information about the Bible that you've been missing. And he goes on and on. And I was reminded back in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 16 through 19, do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. Let no one take you captive. Friends, the Bible's information is plain, clear, concise, accurate. Stick with the Bible.
Okay. Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Pastor Mark Henry. You can reach him at markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com. He pastors Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis, revivebrooklynpark.org, revivebrooklynpark.org. He's in the studio because we carry his book, which is titled The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. And we've talked about some of the content of that book. And point number 12 is the real man loves the gospel and the church. So I'm asking Pastor Mark here, what about the church? So many of our churches today seem to have fallen into Laodicea. And yet every one of my listeners longs to be a part of a church. I promise you that. Not saying they all are. Some have given up and they get everything online. So your list is appreciated.
As you think through the churches of the New Testament, all of those churches were struggling with different things. Corinth had a number of issues. I always tell people, you never want to go to the Corinthian church. And yet the Apostle Paul loved them. Jesus had saved them. They were saints. They were not a perfect church. And there is not going to be a perfect church
that's
here.
Right.
But what we've got to do is find a church that's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And because of the breakdown here in America, Jan, it's the reason we've started the underground church movement. We just hired a staff member. People can go to our webpage, markhenryministries.com. There's a link there, the underground church. And as we see the intensity here in America, the resistance towards the things that we're talking about, righteousness, the righteousness found in Christ and the offense of that in the world, the church is going to be driven more and more underground, and we want to help churches. Our goal is to start 50 to 100 new churches before the end of the year.
Really? So some of these would be home-based churches?
These would be home-based churches. There's a series of steps that we go through.
Okay.
They might be satellite campuses for our church for a long period of time, but we got to start somewhere. And if you think about 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that church had struggles. There was people coming in that church and suggesting to them that the resurrection had already taken place and there was no future. And the Apostle Paul sets those things straight. But you got to remember, that was a church that he started in 2 weeks. It was started in homes. It was probably only 50 in size. And what we're seeing is we're probably going to be driven right back to that. Just the other day, I was visiting with a man, and when COVID restrictions came and everything shut down, a couple not far from us here has a barn. And they said, churches are shut down. We're going to open up our barn and have church. They invited one of their neighbors to come, and it was two of them. Today, there's 100 people meeting in that barn following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Love the story. Again, markhenryministries.com for more information. revivebrooklynpark.org. You sent me the shocking article, I'm a Christian pastor. Evangelicals have to be defeated in 2022. Couple paragraphs. I need you to understand something, and I say this without any hyperbole. White evangelicals need to be stopped now. The author is a pastor by the name of John Pavlovich. If the 2022 midterm elections allow Republicans to gain control, Congress, etc., conservative Christians will decimate this nation. And LGBTQ people, Muslims, women, people of color, non-Christians will never have equality under the law again. We will all be at their mercy, and they will no longer have use for mercy. This is not alarmist. Again, this is the author, John Pavlovich. This is not alarmist. Sky is falling histrionics. It is the clear and sober forecast from someone who knows these people, I guess that's you and me, Mark, better than anyone. Over the last decade and a half, as my theology shifted and my beliefs grew more and more progressive, I've been a kind of undercover liberal in an increasingly extremist movement, that's us, we're extremists, that while once relegated to minor fringe noisemakers is now at the precipice of the Roman Empire level power. They are less than 2 years away from having a dominance that will wield violently and not relinquish. I watched it all unfold from inside. One more paragraph. I saw the messages at pastors' conferences grow more incendiary and urgent, and heard the supremacist dog whistles become louder and more frequent. While many decent people around the nation celebrated the progress of a black president and the many civil and human rights victories and gradually let down their guard, The white conservative church set off the alarms and prepared for a holy war. He concludes, "Trust me when I tell you that we won't recover from the theocracy evangelicals are constructing once it is established. If we fail in 2022, they will have political power that will render every election null and void, and we will never have a voice again in our lifetime." And then he goes on to talk about Donald Trump's bully pulpit and related things. So, Mark, I only read fourth of that article. It was shocking to me. You're the one who found it. What are your thoughts?
The reality, you look in history, let's just start there. Number one, those who had a biblical worldview and founded the United States of America brought about more liberty, freedom, and blessing to all of those groups he just attacked. If you're a homosexual, try that in the Middle East.
Exactly.
If you're from a different culture and you move to England, I'm sorry, you're not going to be well received. But you move here to America, you can find blessing and prosperity and opportunity. That's what the Christian worldview brings. That insult, every time I hear something, and Jan, people attack me all the time, say things like that right to my face. I just look at them and say, I've risked my life and the life of my family to minister to Muslim people so they will find the gospel of Jesus Christ. Almost got killed in a village one day by a mob. I've risked my life trying to care for children that look completely different than me in other countries. I've helped, by the grace of God, rescue thousands and thousands of them from dying. Why? So that we can show the love of Christ to them. And yet, we're the enemy? Jan, this is simply the lies of the devil.
Well, again, the title, and folks, you can look it up online and read the whole pastor. I'm a Christian pastor. Evangelicals have to be defeated in 2022. The author is Pastor John Pavlovich. I don't know much about him. I don't even know his denomination. I don't think it's important. But you can hear the passion coming from the so-called religious left. And the so-called religious left, they've got a serious issue with evangelicals, and they see us as the enemy, and we see them as a mission field.
It shouldn't surprise us, because there's a prophetic statement made in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this. But false prophets also arose among the people of Israel, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. It's not surprising that we have these wolf pastors propagating lies and attacks against the gospel. They are ministers of Satan, not ministers of Christ.
One more headline, and we'll comment and close with this. Headline read, "A struggling society is one ripe for the gospel." That's what we need to close on, because you and I have so many opportunities, my listening audience, so many opportunities. Everything is being wrecked as we watch in real time. But what an opportunity now to spread the gospel in times like these.
Jesus is the only one that's got any answers. You look in our world and all they do is divide. I mean, all you got to do is look at the news, look at the college campus. They're not bringing anything good to the table. They can criticize and attack everybody else. But friends, Jesus has the answer. I don't know what your struggle with sin is. I can just tell you this. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm one of those chief sinners. I've got more sin in my life. I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would have murdered people being in jail right now, if not dead. But it was the power of the gospel that changed my life in my teen years. I read through the Bible, discovered the elements of the man code described in the Bible, radically transformed my life. Jared and I have been married now almost 40 years. We've got 3 kids who are amazing servants of the Lord Jesus and great citizens of the country where they live. And they've also served God's people and people around the world. How did that happen? It's the power of the gospel. If you haven't trusted Jesus, today's the day of salvation. Trust in Jesus today.
And folks, we carry his book. It's titled The Man Code, 12 Essentials Every Man Needs to Know. Pastor Mark Henry is the author. You can find it at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office. You can find it in my various newsletters, print and e. Check that out again, olivetreeviews.org. I'm down to a minute or two, Mark, and we've covered a lot of topics today, including ministering to today's man, which obviously I had no idea it was complex as you lay it out here in this wonderful book. And the church issues are endless, and I deal with them daily, and you deal with them daily. Obviously, the answer to it all is Jesus Christ. If you'd like to go out with a final thought, it's all yours.
Jan, you know that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, radically transformed my life. It says, to these Christians, be alert. In other words, think clearly, pay attention, be aware. Stand firm in your faith. Don't be driven. Don't be tossed to and fro by all of these false teachers and all the things that they're propagating. It says, act like men and be strong. And that's what we've got to do in these days.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for all you do. It's greatly appreciated by many, I know. You can contact Mark, markhenryministries.com. The church website is revivebrooklynpark.org. Let me just go out saying this. Think about how the early church responded to their turbulent time. We've talked about turbulent times here for an hour. They went forward boldly, even willing to lose their life, because they knew the gospel was the only hope for a lost world. And when persecution broke out against them in Jerusalem, they scattered and took the gospel wherever they went. God doesn't want us to retreat from the world and focus on ourselves in times of crisis or instability. This is our opportunity to give hope to others through the message of salvation in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We will talk to you again next week. You are the love
song we'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. You and I have a front row seat to watch so many things the Bible predicted for the end of the church age and the gearing up of Daniel's 70th week. We are watching the pawns on the chessboard be moved into their proper place so that everything can fall into place.